Father, we're grateful now for this time. We thank you, Lord, for a new year. Lord, you've allowed us to begin today. Lord, our hearts are needed today. Lord, we do pray for those, Lord, that are sick, those that are suffering, Lord, as only you know. And Lord, unless you intervene, Lord, it's just a matter of time. And God, I pray for families that are going through these situations today that you would encourage them. And God, if it could be your will to heal these sick people. Lord, we know you're able, but Lord, sometimes it's not your will. And God, it's your will to help us to grow through this situation that we go through. But thank you, Lord, we don't have to go through it alone, that you're with us to encourage us and to strengthen us. Father, I pray now, Lord, as we open the Word of God today, Lord, you would lead us and guide us. Lord, as we go into this new study this morning, I pray, God, you would have your will and way in every heart and life here. Lord, I know it's the desire of everyone here today to draw closer to you this year, Lord, and to be more like you. God, I pray, God, you'd encourage us through your word as we study it together today. Lord, just bless your people in a very special way. Lord, they give their time to come to Sunday school. And God, I pray, Lord, now this time will be profitable for all of us. Lord, as we open your word together and study it this morning, have your will and way in all our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, we're thankful today for this day God's given us. We're thankful for you being here in Sunday school this morning and God allowing us to be together once again. This morning I want to begin, as we begin our new study today, I want to ask you a question, a very important question. Now, in asking this question to you, I want you to realize that your answer is not going to be just in one part. I want to ask you a question that you cannot escape. The inescapable question. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that has been born, that is born, or that will be born, answers this question. And they don't answer it all at one time. It's a daily thing. It's a progressive thing in our life as we answer this question that we're going to deal with this morning. You know, since Adam, there's been hundreds of billions of people that have been born and placed here on this earth. These people have explored, they have settled every corner of the earth that God has given us. They also, we know, they speak hundreds of languages. There's a lot of languages on this world which we live today. People speak all kinds of languages. They have practiced multitudes of religions, quote, in the world which we live. You can find just about any kind of religion, quote, that you want to find in this world which we live today. We also see they have found many different cultures, the way people live. People live differently. And there's a culture in this world which we live today. But however, of all the people that we've talked about, every single person in this world today that has lived, that is living, or that will live, we all, as human beings, share one single vital thing. One single vital thing is we all share together. In saying this, my purpose and your purpose in life today, in which we live. Not only my purpose today as I live down here, but my eternal destiny and your eternal destiny depends completely upon your and my relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what life is all about, folks. My purpose of life. Why are you living in this world today? What are you doing in this world today? Okay? What do we live for? Do we live to get? Or do we live to serve? What is our purpose in life down here? You know, life is brief. We have young people here today. You got hopefully a long life ahead of you. But you're going to find as you get older, time goes faster. And it's like you can't catch up with it sometimes. But nevertheless, as life goes on, there's things in our life that we do. And those things should be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, the setting has been said so many times, there's only one life, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that is so true. So our purpose in life today, what is your purpose in living today? And our destiny in eternity depends upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're going to ask you a very important question. Now, when somebody asks you a question, how do you answer them? How do you answer them? Say verbally, I asked you a question, you're going to say what? Yes or no, maybe, okay? How else do you answer a question that somebody asks you? Somebody tell me. How do you answer?
Maybe.
Okay. Somebody that's real sick on the bed, sometimes how do they answer your questions? They nod their heads, they blink their eyes, or, you know, there's many ways to answer questions, isn't there? And we all, when we ask a question, we do this. Sometimes we smile. Sometimes we frown. You know, that's an answer. Sometimes to a question that somebody asks us. So how we answer questions is very important too, you see. So what I'm trying to say to you today here, in life itself, whatever we do, our purpose on earth today and our destiny in eternity is very, very important. And it all depends upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is impossible to overemphasize the importance of his life. Would you agree with that? We cannot overemphasize the importance of the life of Jesus Christ, because he is our life giver, is he not? He's our life giver. He gives us life. He gives us what we need in our life. And therefore, we find that God himself designed a plan before the foundation of the world and how he was going to create this world and make everything good. And in this world, he's going to create a man. And from that man, he's going to create a woman. And from that man and that woman, he's going to create a multitude of people. And God has a plan for everyone. Everyone that's ever been created. And primarily, that plan is for that individual, the individuals that he created to put on this earth, to serve him, to worship him, and to talk to him, and have fellowship with him. That was his plan. But we know what happened. God gave man a choice. And man made the choice to disobey God. And from Adam down to us today, and throughout the rest of history, we have that nature to disobey God. We do what we want to do if we're not careful. We have this flesh within us, and we have to fight the flesh every day. And I'm thankful today to know that God has a plan there. God has a plan. God has given us the means whereby that we can know him, we can learn about him, we can study about him, you see. And therefore, when we are faced with this question, we can answer it, and we can know that we're doing what we ought to be doing. Now, first of all, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to begin today looking at this question. This inescapable question, a question that you cannot escape. We all answer it. We all answer it. But I want you to notice here, in answering this question, we see how God miraculously gives us a means to do that, a source to do that. God has not just created us to put us on this earth and left us alone, folks. He's given us a means whereby we can know him, a way we can know him, you know. And I'm thankful today for that means. That is the word of God we have. In Isaiah chapter 55, we'll begin reading in just a moment of verse number 6. I want you to notice as we look at this, this is an invitation. This is an invitation by God to mankind, an invitation he's given to us. And he's also given us not only an invitation, but a challenge and also a promise here from God. Let's look at verse number 6 as we begin. Verse 6. First of all, Isaiah 55 and verse number 6. What's the first word? Seek. Notice he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. indication to me there may be a time when God may not be available. Amen? There may be that time. So he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord. We see this is an invitation for all mankind. Now, he's not talking just to lost people. He's also talking to Christians. He's talking, if you please, to sinners. How many of us are sinners? All of us are. The difference between us and the lost people, we'll save sinners, they're lost sinners. We still sin in this body. We're going to sin as long as we're alive in this earth. We can't help it because of our nature. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that lives within us to convict us and to help us to see when we sin that we ask God to forgive us when we do sin. You know. But we see here, he says, first seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He may be found. I'm thankful today to know that God found me. Aren't you? I'm glad to know that the Word of God, where I was in the presence of, by the man of God and the Spirit of God, found me and convicted me in my heart and helped me to see that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. I'm thankful this morning that, you know, as we go out, as Brother Bob was talking about earlier, we go out visitation. We go out, we knock on doors. We don't know who we're going to run into. But God gives us opportunities many times to be able to share the Word of God. And I'm convinced, folks, if there's anything we as a church need more of today, is the teaching of the Word of God. That's going to help us more than anything in this world. We need to be taught the Bible. We need to study ourselves. We need to be taught the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the only thing, first of all, that's going to give faith to you, faith to that unbeliever, and help them to call upon the Lord and be saved. You know, when we get out and we start visiting with people and we start telling them about the Lord and what God's done for me and us and all, that's great. But there's just something about it when you begin to quote the Bible, when you begin to open the Word of God and share the Word of God to those people, there's something that takes place between you and that person you're talking to that I cannot explain, and only God knows what, and people begin to change their talking and their thinking when you're talking to them. And we witnessed that last Thursday as we went out visiting. You know, we get to talk to a person, just a man came through the door. We introduced ourselves and we told who we were, where we were from. And we begin to ask him a question. We first of all asked him, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I don't go. He said, I do go to church. He said, I go to church. And then we said, do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? He says, I'm not ready to make that decision today. I'm not ready. And then we asked, when are you going to be ready? When are you going to be ready? You know, this man was faced with a question. Probably, I don't know whether he had or not. He probably had, that he'd been approached before. How are you going to know when you're ready to be saved? We said to him, sir, you're no more ready than you're going to be ready today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen? Tomorrow may be too late. You know, if you're going to ever get saved, it's going to be today. It ain't going to be tomorrow. It ain't going to be next week. I said to the young man, says, if you're going to wait till you get ready to get saved, you'll never get saved. Because this flesh is never ready. The flesh is never ready. I said, salvation is not a matter of thinking. Salvation is a matter of the heart. I began to share with him Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and verse 13. And these verses begin to deal with his heart. We deal with other verses to him also. And finally, we had the joy of seeing that young man trust Christ as his Savior. But you know, what I'm saying to you today is this. God has a way for us to know him. It's through the Word of God. God has a way to help us to share others the Word of God and help them to come to know Christ too, you see. It's the Word of God. The Bible says here, God says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I told that young man, I said, listen, I may get in this car, and before I get back to where I belong, I may be killed. If I do, I know I'll be in heaven. Amen. If you get in your car and you go to work, or wherever you go to work, and you don't make it back, you get killed, where are you going to go? He said, I go to hell. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. See, the Word of God convinces us that we're lost and that we need to be saved. This is a question we're going to talk about that is inescapable. Inescapable. Again, our purpose on this earth today and our eternity destiny is depending upon our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't overemphasize that. Now look at verse. Look at this verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. What's the next word? Call ye upon him while he is here, while he is near. We've got to seek God, and then we've got to call. Preacher was talking about last Wednesday night about a choice. I'll mention this word. There's a choice to become a Christian. You don't just become a Christian. You have to make a decision to become a Christian. You have to make a decision to call upon the Lord and realize that you're lost and you need to be saved. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him, he says, while he is near. That is, when God is dealing with you, call upon the Lord, you see. I'm thankful to know that God does deal with us, and he deals with us individually. Aren't you? People today in this church, as God's word is taught, God's word is preached later on, God may be dealing with you concerning your relationship with him. He's dealing with you personally. He wants you to come to know Christ as your Savior. That's what the Spirit of God is trying to deal with you and talk to you about right now if you're not saved, you see. He deals with us individually. I'm so glad that God doesn't embarrass us. He doesn't stand up before people. He deals with us where we're sitting, where we're standing, where we're singing. The Spirit of God does that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We need to do this as God's people. And the only way we can do this is by God's help. By God's help, you see. This inescapable question we're going to mention here in just a few minutes. Notice verse number 7. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And notice, and let him return unto the Lord. See, he's not only speaking to lost people, he's speaking to saved people too, that are in sin. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have what? He will have what? Mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Thank God for that, amen? He abundantly pardons us. He forgives us of how many of our sins? All our sins. Abundantly he pardons all of us, you see. We see here that sinners alike, sinners I'm talking about, saved people and lost people. Here we find that we are urged to respond to the gospel invitation when we have the opportunity. We're urged to respond. There may be someone sitting in this room right here today that needs to respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? Jesus died for you. He was buried for you. He rose the third day for you. Maybe you need to respond today. I hope if you do, you do. Because this is your invitation. Seek and call, the Bible says here. This is an invitation, is to seek. The challenge is to look at verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the ungodly man his thoughts, and let us return unto the Lord, and he have mercy upon us. Thank God for that. This is the challenge. See, we have to seek the Lord. We have to forsake our ways and call upon the Lord. Now look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, I like this, for my thoughts, God's speaking, amen, God's speaking here. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad that God doesn't think like I think. I'm glad that his thoughts are not my thoughts completely, you see. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. My thoughts and my ways are not God's thoughts and God's ways. God has his own thinking. God has his own ways. Nobody has any control over God. He is control himself. No one can change God's mind here, we see. His thoughts, my thoughts are not your thoughts, he says, neither are your ways my ways. Now, look how he compares this. He's comparing our thoughts and our ways to his. Now notice in verse 8. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. How far is it from the earth to heaven? It's a long ways, isn't it? I don't know how far it is, but it's a long ways. He says, as far as our thoughts and our ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, there's no comparison today, folks, between our thoughts and God's thoughts, our ways and God's ways. There's no comparison at all. His thoughts are just out of this world, so to speak, compared to ours. His ways are out of this world compared to ours. You see, God has a plan. God has a way. He's given an invitation here to sinners to respond to the gospel. See, all sinners need to hear the gospel. Everybody needs to hear the gospel, you see. And we see here in verse number 8 and verse number 9. Look at verse number 10 now. He compares again our thoughts and his thoughts, our ways and his ways. Notice what he says here, verse number 10. God gives us a beautiful picture here of the relationship between us and God, the comparison of us and God, our thoughts and our ways. He says in verse number 10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and notice it returneth not thither. In other words, the rain and the snow, when it hits the earth, it stays here, right? It stays here. It don't go back nowhere else. It stays here on this earth. He says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but what does it come for? Why does the rain and snow come to the earth? Watereth the earth, and maketh it what? Bring forth and bud. That's why we have rain. That's why we have snow, that the earth may come forth and bud and bring forth fruit. See, and bud that it might give seed to the sower. Who's the sower? We're the sowers. The sower and bread to the eater. And bread to the eater. In other words, God has a purpose for everything he does. When it rains, when it snows, he has a purpose for that. He has a purpose, that is, it may water the earth, make it bring forth and bud, that we may have seed and we may have food to eat. God has given that as a picture here of comparing our ways and his ways, our thoughts and his thoughts, you see. God, everything he does, he has a plan, he has a purpose. God don't do anything unless he knows what he's doing, what I should say. But notice also, verse 11. Now he's giving a comparison now, not only to our ways and our thoughts, but now he's giving a good comparison about his word. He says in verse 11, y'all know this verse by heart probably, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of the mouth. My word. God said, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me what? Void. In other words, the word of God that comes out of his mouth is not going to return void. But, notice what it says, it shall accomplish. It shall what? Accomplish. It shall accomplish that which I please. In other words, it's going to do what God wants it to do. It may not sometimes do what we want it to do, but it's going to always do what God wants it to do. Sometimes you go out visiting, you try to present the gospel to the people and the plan of salvation, but it seems like it doesn't accomplish anything. It's like it's going against a wall. Nothing happens. But God has promised us here, folks, that his word will accomplish what he pleases. What he pleases when it goes out of his mouth. When it goes out of his mouth. But it will accomplish that which I please, and also it will prosper in the thing which I sent it. It will prosper. It's going to make way. It's going to accomplish something, you see. You know, the Bible tells us about some sow the seed, some water the seed, back and forth, sowing seed, and water and all this. But God himself gives the increase, amen? When it's the right time, God will give the increase. So we see in these three verses here, the grace of God is far beyond our understanding, is it not? How he uses his word. He uses his word. The grace of God is far beyond our understanding, but yet also is guaranteed by God, not us, is guaranteed to be effective. It's guaranteed to be effective through the faith and the inspiring preaching of the Word of God and teaching of the Word of God. See, God's Word will not return unto him void. It's going to accomplish that pleases him. It's our obligation, our responsibility to teach the Word of God and to preach the Word of God and present the gospel to people, you see. and God gives the increase. Sometimes we get so, sometimes disheartened in visitation because tonight nobody wants to hear, nobody wants to listen, nobody ever gets saved. But we have to realize, as our pastor said so many times, it's up to God. We do our part, and God is certainly going to do his part. But we've got to do our part, and we've got to be faithful in doing this, in doing this. And we see here God's grace towards sinners, us also, through the word of God that we have to give. Now look also at verse number 12 and 13. For ye shall go out with joy when you go out, when God's word is heard and obeyed. When God's word is heard and obeyed, he says, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. With peace, the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Have you ever been out and led somebody to Christ, or God allowed you to, by presenting the gospel? Doesn't that kind of give us a picture of how you feel? You know, I know you can't be saved at one time. I know that. But when you lead someone to Christ, when God allows you the opportunity to take the word of God and share it with somebody, and you see they're broken, and they realize they're lost, and they need to be saved, and they pray the sinner's prayer, and they get gloriously saved, and they stand up, and they've got a smile on their face, and they hug you, and you're rejoicing in the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. It's almost like being saved again. Almost like being saved again. You see, God's grace, God has given us as a sinner, even saved sinners, he gives us this opportunity of presenting his word to people. Presenting his word to people as we do that. And as we give God's word and they obey the word of God, it's going to bring, they're going to be freed from their sin, the bondage of sin. They're going to be free from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin has been paid. They've accepted that price. That is Jesus Christ's blood has paid their sin debt. And now they're saved. They're born again children of God. Now also we see they're free from the power of sin because the Spirit of God now indwells them. No longer does sin have dominion over us that are in Christ Jesus. You see, but God's Spirit does. And then we see because of this freedom from this bondage, there's joy and peace that enters into our heart and into our life. He says in verse 13, notice, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall be cut off. In other words, we see here the word of God, when it's presented, it brings eternal joy and peace to people's lives and hearts. Thank God today for the Word of God. I'm thankful today that God's grace enables us the opportunity, the privilege to share the Word of God. To share the Word of God, you see. And when we share the Word of God, I want you to realize, and me to realize this, folks, it's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish that pleases God when we present it in the Spirit, in the right way, in the right manner, you see. So we see here, the inescapable question, what are we dealing with? What are we dealing with here? When I speak of the inescapable question, I'm speaking of the very fact that when we go out and we live our life as a Christian, it's very important how we live our life. It's very important that we witness to people. Everything I do in my life, everywhere I go, everything I say, every time I present the gospel, I'm saying this. I'm letting people know this is the question. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Folks, that's an inescapable question. I bear witness of that every moment of my life. What I think of Christ. What I say, what I do, where I go. I'm letting those around me, I'm even trying to get myself to answer that question. What do I think of Christ? What do you think of Christ today? What does he mean to you today as a Christian? It's very, very important to realize today what we think of Christ is more important than what we can get, what we have, what we get. There's nothing wrong with having and getting and going, but that should not be the primary factor in our life. The primary factor in our life is, what do I think of Christ? What do I think of Christ? Is he precious to you today? Is he precious to you today? Is he sweeter to you today than he was yesterday? That little song we used to sing in Sunday school, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Sometimes we as adults, we need to get back and sing that song sometimes. Help us to realize this question is very, very important. Is he glorious in our eyes? Is he what I want to see? Or do I want to see the world and the things in this world? I'm not much for movies. In fact, I don't go to the theaters at all. I have my conviction about that. But nevertheless, that's not the point. We were given a DVD recently to look at. And I challenge you, if you can find it, you can find it. They got it at Walmart. It's called War Room. Anybody ever seen that movie? Mm-hmm. War Room. That is a good movie. That is something that every Christian ought to look at. Young people, I don't care what age you are, you need to see, you need to get that movie, and you need to look at it. It's about prayer and what prayer can do. It's about how a lady was a realtor. She went to a house to talk to a lady about selling her house, and the lady, of course, was taking her through the house, showing her a room. She got to this room that was big and open. She saw papers on the wall, a Bible in there. And the lady really asked her, this young, elderly lady, says, what is this room? She said, this is my war room. This is where I fight the devil in the world in this room. This is where I pray. This is where I pray. Folks, we need that room. We need an isolated place where we can get along with God and pour out our heart to God and pray and ask God to help us in our life. We all need help. We all need help. But this dear old saint, she was so, so good. And she was very inspiring to this young lady, this lady who had a husband and a son, had a daughter. And to make a long story short, she enabled them, because this man was a very prosperous man. He was rich. He was making good money and all this kind of stuff, and he got in trouble and all that. I can't tell the whole story. But when this lady heard about this lady, she went back to her room, her house, she began to think what's going on. And she cleaned out her closet. She took her clothes out of her closet, and she made her closet a prayer room and began to pray for her husband. And the first thing happened to her husband, he was out in another town somewhere, like a lot of salesmen are and all this kind of stuff are. He was with another woman sitting at a table. They were having dinner together. In the meantime, they were back home praying for her husband. That old lady and his wife was too. And something miraculously happened. As he was sitting there having coffee, he got sick. He got sick as a dog. He went to the bathroom and threw up. He got sick, and they had to leave, and she had to leave him. See, God intervened. Why? Because they were praying for him. See, God can change things, folks, but we need to pray. We need to pray. The war room. We need a place that we can get along with God. What is your answer today? Do we love the Lord like we ought to? And it escaped a question. Listen, what think you of Christ? Ask yourself that question this year, 2017. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Is he precious to you? Do you love him with all your heart? Do we all need to love him more, don't we? We do. May God help us as we continue next week on this question. What think you of Christ? Think about that question. You can't escape it. The way you live proves what you think about him and how you think about him. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Lord, we thank you for Jesus who died for us. God, we pray today, if there's one sitting in this auditorium right now that's not saved, God, I pray somehow the Spirit of God would use what's been said today to convict and to draw that person to Christ before it's too late. Have your will away now in the service. Bless our pastor, bless the singing. May all that's done today here at Fellowship Baptist Church bring honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.